Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
I'd just like to start off with a question. Can anyone tell me how many times this gospel is read throughout the year on a Sunday? Three times, exactly. So the first time we read it is during the Lent, and the main focus is the repentance of the Samaritan woman and how the Lord came and sought her in the heat of the day in a land where he was not expected to be, and yet he went and found her, and all that was expected from her was a response. The second time we read it is this Sunday, in the Holy 50 days, and the main focus is the living water. And the new life, and how when we're quenched by the Lord in the hope of the resurrection, we're filled with joy that's inexpressible, and our natural response is to go out and share the word. The third time is during, I know it in Arabic, I don't know it in English, it's called Salawat al-Sekt, which is the prayers after Pentecost, after the liturgy, where we're once again called, after we've received the Holy Spirit, to go out and preach to the nations. So when I was asked to give this talk, I was on the train, and I bumped into a friend from school. And that day I was running late, and I hadn't managed to read the Akbaya in the morning. So I wasn't really interested in talking to him, and what I tried to do was read the Akbaya as I was talking to him. And eventually we got off the train, and it turns out we catch the same bus. So there was no chance of me trying to read it, but in my rudeness, I tried to persist and tried to keep reading it. And then eventually he asked me, like, what are you reading? I thought, perfect, an opportunity to talk about something that's beneficial to both of us. So I told him I was reading a prayer book for my church, and then I asked him if he was a Christian. And he told me that he was attending a church, but that he hadn't been baptized. And so we started talking about Christ. But after we finished talking, I went to my Coptic friends at uni, and I told them, like, I realized I have no skills or any ability to evangelize. And then Buna Og asked me to do the talk, and I saw that the sermon was about, the gospel was about the Samaritan woman. And I thought this was perfect. The Samaritan woman is the perfect example of how we should evangelize. Not only did she evangelize to the people in Samaria, but when we look in the Orthodox Study Bible, it says that after the resurrection of Christ, she was baptized, given the name Saint Fatini, which means the enlightened one. And then she went to Carthage in Libya, and she preached there, and she was eventually martyred. So I believe that she's a perfect model for our evangelism, and I'll try to take a few points of how we can also evangelize like her, using the wisdom of the readings of today. And the verse that I'll focus on is when our Lord says, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." So we'll cover evangelism in three steps. The first is changing our focus. The second is tasting the Lord. And the third is acting based on our experience with the Lord. So the first step is our own salvation. And we need to come to the realization that everything in this world is temporal. And once we come to that realization, naturally we'll shift our focus. So the focus of the first verse is, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." And what I think this is talking about is the passing pleasures of the world and how they'll never satisfy us and how we'll always have to seek them again and again and again. A simple example is after the fast. For me personally, the first day I ate and I ate and I ate, and then the next day I ate and I ate and ate again, regardless of what I ate the day before. And naturally, I was never satisfied. And I think this is just our human nature. And I think that this idea is caught by the wisest man who ever lived, in Solomon, who, after having all the kingdoms of the world, all the pleasures, all everything you can ever imagine, at the end of his life, he came to the conclusion that all is vanity and grasping for the wind. So we can either accept the example of Solomon and accept the example of the Samaritan woman who tried all the pleasures of the world and finally came to the conclusion that the world doesn't satisfy, or else we can come to that conclusion ourselves, but it usually comes with much grief. So we can use them as shining examples and move in obedience to God. But Solomon also came to another realization in Proverbs chapter 30, where he said that there are four things that are never satisfied in the world. He said that the grave is never satisfied, the barren womb is never satisfied, the earth is never satisfied with water, and the fire never says enough. But I think that this idea that the grave is never satisfied is extremely important. And it's the reality that we live with, that apart from Christ, we all ultimately die. And the sooner we come to this realization, the sooner will we change our focus to things which last forever. And this message of focusing on the things of above is repeated in the Pauline epistle for today, when it says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." And we see this happens in the encounter with Christ, where he says to the Samaritan woman, he tries to shift her focus from the things of the earth to the things of heaven, where he says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water." So once we've come to the realization that the world comes to nothing eventually, what do we do now? And we realize it doesn't satisfy, what do we do? The second part of the verse, we must taste the Lord. The second part says, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst." And so it gives us the solution in that whoever conforms with Christ in his death and his resurrection through baptism, and who receives this living water, which St. Augustine says is the Holy Spirit, they will never thirst, as they will always live with the hope of the resurrection. And this will quench him in this life, as no matter what cross or what difficulties he'll ever face in his life, he'll consider that he's sharing in the sufferings of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and then he'll always live with the hope and the glory of the resurrection. And this is the hope which truly satisfies us. And we see this clearly in the 21 martyrs in Libya, who were able to peacefully meet death because of this change in focus and this tasting of the Lord, and they considered that it was better to die and be with the Lord than to experience the passing pleasures of the world. But we have to come to the realization of this ourselves. As David says in Psalm 34, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And we see that this was the basis of the Samaritan woman's evangelism. She saw the Lord's love and compassion, his forgiveness, his willingness to speak to her, even though she was despised by all the men of her city, all the people of her city. And then the fact that the Lord was able to reveal what was in her heart. And from this love and from this encounter, she wanted others to experience what she had experienced with the Lord. So what moves us to preach? I believe what we need to do is taste and see that the Lord is good and willing to forgive us no matter what sin we've committed in the past. If we look at this lady, she was an adulterous woman. The person she was currently living with was not even her husband. But even then, Christ forgave her. And based on her own experience, and for us, based on our own experience with God, we'll go out and we will want to preach. And based on our own conviction that he is my own personal Saviour. And also, when I realize the reality that from dust I came and that to dust I shall return apart from the cross and resurrection of Christ, then naturally I'll be moved to respond. Because the love that he showed us on the cross is incomprehensible. In being God, like some attributes, infinite, unchangeable, limitless, boundless, yet he humbled himself to become a man, almost the opposite of all those attributes. And all for what? In order to save me. But we have to come to the realization that an action like this is not an empty action, but it's an action which demands a response from us. And I think that this response not only includes our own repentance, but the next step is, after we've experienced the joy of the resurrection, to share it with the other people. So what does this actually involve? So we see in the Catholicon it says, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So we need to share this good news, and we can't shut up our hearts. The church is not called to be insular and only to serve the people within the four walls or anything like that, but it's called to go out and to try to bring and other people like an ark, the Ark of Noah, try to bring the world and whoever's willing to accept the message to Christ. And I think that we can not only be satisfied with our own salvation only, but we should seek to bring others to Christ, because this is the true love. And Amber Bullis from Kenya came last year, and he made a really lovely point. He said that in Australia, not only have we tasted the Lord and seen that he's good, but we've been overfed, in that we attend so many Bible studies and we attend so many lovely talks by the church fathers, and they move us to repentance, which is excellent. But he said that the next step is usually the wrong thing. Usually what we do is we focus on not committing that sin again. No, I can't do it again, I can't do it again. But he says that we have to change our mentality. He says that after we've confessed, repented, and partaken of the body and blood of Christ, then we're forgiven. And then what we need to do is have a positive response like the Samaritan woman, and to go out and preach and to share and to serve, rather than to just focus on avoiding the sin. And this idea is clear in the Pauline epistle today. where it says, "You have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him." So the question is, do we truly believe that this is the case? Do we truly believe in the reality of our church and in the sacraments, and in the fact that with baptism and the constant renewal of confession and Holy Communion, that our sins are forgiven and that we've put on a new man, regardless of the sins we've committed in the past? This is the reality that's offered to us in the church, offered to us today in the Mass, and it's something that we should grasp. Grasp with both our hands, but not only grasp, but then we should act upon it in our sharing. So just the final part, how can we go out and act and share? Or the need to act and share as well. So the last part of the verse is, "But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." So in today's Acts, we see this message again of the fact that once we taste and see and experience the Lord and the joy of the Lord, then we're compelled to go out and preach. Where it says, "And we are witnesses of all things which he did. And he commanded us to preach to the people and testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judged of the living and the dead. Whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." So the Samaritan woman again is an example of this, in that after she had seen and tasted the Lord, she left her water pot showing her eagerness. And not only that, but she went and preached to the people who she was ashamed of and who she was avoiding. And that's the reason why she was going in the middle of the day. So we saw that the Christ's light not only removed the darkness from her heart, but gave her the fearlessness and boldness to go out and preach. Now for us, I don't think the expectation is that I go out and convert Samaria or Sydney or anything like that. But I think what the expectation is that we witness to the people around us through our actions and through what we say. And we do it with boldness and without fear of what they'll think of me, or without any kind of self-consciousness. So I think what we need to do is we share what we can about our church, about our beliefs. We tell them, we try to answer their questions. If we can't answer their questions, we sincerely say we can't, and we offer to search with them. But all I think we need to do is to share our own personal experience with Christ, and unless we have that personal experience, it's very hard to go out and share. And we see in this chapter where it says, "So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world.'" So ultimately we know in Orthodoxy that our religion is based on the relationship with God, and our faith is based on our experiences with God. So what we need to do is we need to direct these people to Christ and pray to God that they taste and experience him. We plant a seed, uncertain of what kind of roots it will sort of implant, and uncertain of the fruits that it bear, but we still do it, and we still do it faithfully. And then the most important step is that we enter our rooms and pray for those people, that Christ will allow them to taste him and that they'll see his light. And just two verses that sort of should guide us in our work and how we approach it. When St. Paul says in the Epistle to Corinthians, he goes, "I planted, Apollos watered, but most importantly, God gave the increase." And King David's word in Psalm 127, where it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labour in vain who build it." So just to conclude, I think that each of us is called for this, both great and small. So in today's psalm, it says, "He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great." So I think the first step, as we said, is changing our focus to God, and then repenting, confessing, partaking in the body and blood of Christ, and then living a daily life of Christ. And then based on our experience with him, we will naturally want to go out and share the hope that we have in his resurrection. And I believe as the body of Christ, we're all called to evangelize and share the good news. I think we're all called to be apostles to be sent out. I think whether you're a teacher in the staff room talking about what you did on the weekend, or you're a mother or father taking your child to childcare or to school, maybe the approach could be you ask them what they did on the weekend, expecting the same question in response, and then you can tell them about church. And you can see if they're hungry and see if they want to learn about Christ. And then you can go from there. So I think that this new life we have in Christ, in his resurrection, demands a response for us. We have tasted and shared with him both in his fasting and his passion. And we've shared with him in the joy of his resurrection. So now I think that the next step is that we go out and we must share. And our message is a very simple message. And the message is that the world doesn't satisfy, but Christ satisfies. The hope of his resurrection is what satisfies, And we live in this faith, and we manifest it through our love and sharing the word. And glory be to God forever. Amen.